Rock, sport, and talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.
Right, let's have a chat about Everton. Actually, just before we get to Everton, just to touch on something that I know made David very jealous over the winter break. My surprise liaison with Thomas Bjorn at Anfield. So after the Arsenal game the other day, I was stood in one of the corridors in Anfield, and Thomas Bjorn started walking towards me with this giant box and a young lad next to him. I say young lad, he was bigger than me. He was probably about 15, but it was his son. You could quite clearly see the family resemblance. And I was thinking, oh, I've got to have a picture with Thomas Bjorn. So the only way I could think of having a picture with Thomas Bjorn was, I stopped him and said, Thomas, hope you don't mind me stopping you, but John Aldridge is in this room and he'd love a picture with you. So I dragged Thomas Bjorn into this room because he's a mad Liverpool fan. And Aldo was absolutely over the moon to have his picture with Thomas Bjorn. So I created this false meeting between the two of them. And then off the back of it, I went, Thomas, do you mind if I have a picture myself? is that devious? You've got to do it sometimes, David, haven't you?
Only you, but of course, you should have got a picture with his tattoo, Steve.
Well, do you know what? I'd forgotten the tattoo story. And actually, it was on my Instagram, Ken Skupski, the Liverpool tennis player, tweeted me, insta'd me and said, did you ask him to see his tattoo? And I thought, oh God, I don't remember that.
That would have been outstanding. Can you imagine that? Aldo, the Ryder Cup and Thomas Bjorn's backside. That would have been brilliant. Was he a nice guy, was he?
Absolutely lovely. Mm. And the weirdest thing was, he was carrying the Ryder Cup around in this box, just walking around with it.
And just him with it?
Him and his son. No bodyguard. And he actually left Anfield through the main entrance holding the Ryder Cup. And I was having a chat with a friend of mine, Mally, who's a massive golf fan, yesterday. And I said, would that be the real Ryder Cup? And he said, I've no idea. Maybe there are some replicas, like the European Cup. There's a couple of replicas about.
No, there's only one.
Only one, yeah?
Yeah, there's only one.
There's no replica.
No.
And he would be allowed to carry that around. And that is very strange, isn't it?
Captain, isn't he? It's his prerogative to do that. But
mind you, he's that big. I don't think anyone would come close to him.
It doesn't do him justice on the telly when you see him playing golf. He's a really tall guy. And like you say, his son obviously takes after him as well. So don't think you'd have much messing, would you, with them two if you tried to get your hands on the Ryder Cup? But
and it's funny what sort of hero status he's got. Because as soon as I brought him in the room, there must have been 20 people around him immediately, like flies. You know, whereas for a golfer normally, perhaps they don't have that, you know.
Well, you are in a Danish lounge, Steve. Danish beer.
It's not full of Danish people, you know.
Thomas Bjorn is Danish as well.
The Carlsberg lounge is not populated by Danish people. Well, I don't think he even
saw that.
There
must be a Danish theme in there, surely. When I've been, there's been Danes in there.
Right, let's talk about Everton. Everton 0.
We're not talking about the Ryder Cup instead.
Leicester City 1. First day nerves, it says on the back of the Echo. Silver laments anxiety as Blues kick off 2019 in woeful fashion. I'm not sure where to start with Everton at the moment. Fallen flat at the first hurdle in the new year. I heard his interview actually, and he sounded as though he thought they were going to perform really well in the game, and they massively let him down. What were your feelings heading into it?
I thought it was coming, I won't lie. I don't think the kickoff time helped anybody. Obviously, it's no excuse for a professional footballer who's on the money that these guys are on, but I thought that it was a really tricky fixture. Leicester have blown hot and cold, but what they have done the last 2 weeks...
Just explore that kickoff time. That is a problem for teams, isn't it, for footballers? 12 o'clock, especially on New Year's Day.
I have not recalled a time when I've watched the game at that time on a New Year's Day where it's been a decent game of football. I think the last time, and Gav Buchland reminded me of this actually on social media the other day, the last time Everton played 12:30 on a New Year's Day was against West Brom. And it was a game infamously where Alan Irwin and Graham Sharp were commentating on this very station. And Al asked Sharpie to pass him the paper. It was that poor of a game. And Achebe scored in the last minute, which sort of spared everyone's blushes. And I'm pretty sure Leicester would have felt the same had they not come away with the 3 points. But it was a dreadful game. As you can see many empty seats as well. Because people enjoy the new year, don't they? And you know, you could hear a pin drop at Goodison. Many fans would say that's indicative of the times anyway at Goodison, because the atmosphere generally needs to improve in there. But it was just all set up to be a real turgid of the fair, and that's what it was. No excuse, of course, for the players, though. And there was a stat that I saw watching the highlights after about half an hour or so, that Everton had misplaced 60 passes, no less than 60 passes and Leicester's was even worse. So it was a really scrappy affair in midfield. Nobody could get hold of the ball. And what you've seen, Steve, I think to give some context, is a culmination of fatigue, not enough squad depth, players generally not finding form over a short period of time with many games. But I've just tweeted this morning there, if you go back a month today, that was the day of the Merseyside derby. Everton went into that game in sixth place. And you had Evertonians moaning at broadcasters for not paying them more attention for being in sixth in the Premier League. Final whistle blows yesterday, and you've got people wanting Marco Silva to leave the football club. That's how extreme and fickle people get when you look back a month ago.
Hang on, was that a popular conversation on social media?
I wouldn't say it was popular, but I think it's something that is gathering pace on social media. I think there were a few discerning voices after Brighton, you know, and people not being too happy with how things were going under him, given the rut. I think in the context of his career as well, you look what happened at Watford last time, this time last year. He was sacked because of an horrendous run of form after Everton had approached him. So it's this time of year generally when he finds himself in a bit of a pickle. And obviously people won't be too fond of the idea of that happening at Everton, Steve. But, I mean, things have spiralled. There are issues. I mean, but I think it's absolutely ludicrous to suggest that you sack a manager 21 games into a season. And in reality, it's not 21 games, is it? It's about 7 or 8. I think it's 1 win and 8 we've got since the derby. You go back and Jordan Pickford stands there and doesn't put his hands up on that goal line. And Liverpool fans will be loving me saying this, but it hits the crossbar, goes into the cop. Everton come away with a credible 0-0 draw. And I have no doubt that they would have picked up more than 2 points at the ensuing home games against Watford and Newcastle have followed.
So you're convinced that killed off your December?
I wouldn't say killed off the December, but I would suggest that the back-to-back home games that come within the space of 6 days after it, there was a lot of mentally shot Everton players on the pitch. That was visible. And then, of course, the 6-2 drubbing from Tottenham at home was sort of another killer blow. And then you look at the fixture list now, the two games that we've just lost, 1-0 against Brighton and Leicester at the start of a run that you would expect Everton to pick up a lot more points. We don't play a top six side until mid-February now. And quite clearly, that's some people, I would say it's still a minority, but a very vocal one, has done for them. And they're not happy with Silva and would have him replaced, I think, which is truly bizarre when you consider what the man inherited in terms of squads. And a lot of people got on my back yesterday, Steve, on social media when I was saying these things, because they said, well, you didn't give Sam Allardyce that long. And that's absolutely true. I did not give Sam Allardyce that long. But Sam Allardyce was brought in to do a job and keep Everton in the Premier League. And that was it, as far as I'm concerned. More to the point, why would you want to keep repeating that mistake? Why would you want to keep repeating, oh, well, it's not good enough after 20-something games. Let's go and get another manager. That doesn't fix things. Things have to change, and things did change for the better, in my opinion. And hopefully he puts it all right against Lincoln in this FA Cup tie, which all of a sudden has a bit of pressure on it. And then we've got Bournemouth the following week at home. So two big games. But
it must have taken you by surprise. I mean, if you think back to your positivity a month ago, you talked about Everton being sixth, and there was credible talk at that stage of Everton challenging for a sixth place within the Premier League. And I don't think you'd even dare go near that conversation now, would you?
Probably not, no. But, you know, you get carried away at points in seasons. I accept that, and football fans are notorious for doing so. But you think back to the start of the season, and pretty much every Evertonian to a man was saying how much time and patience was needed with this. Now, Silva's come out of the blocks quite quickly. After 14 games, I think we were on 22 points. If we'd have won the Merseyside derby, we'd have gone within 8 of Liverpool. Mm. What are we behind them now? 30? The clubs are polar opposite in terms of results since that. And in my opinion, he's made the rod for his own back in terms of the early success or relative success he had. The run we had where we won 5 in 7 games, got a really good draw down at Chelsea. Excuse me. That has sort of set the agenda, I think, for Evertonians to want more out of this season, when in fact, I think many of us, well, I can only speak for myself here and a couple of other friends, but didn't really care for the league table this season. It's a season of transition. It's one where we need to re-establish ourselves and build some foundations at the club, which we haven't done for years now. And so for people to get on his back and say maybe he's not the right man for us, when, you know, so much has changed over the summer, let alone the style of football, is completely different to Sam Allardyce. People will always beat him with that stick. I think if he doesn't finish higher than eighth this season, people will say, well, what was the point in sacking Sam Allardyce? That would be their defence of the argument that for those who didn't want him. That to me is not fair. It's not fair on him.
You're doing a credible defence of him now, but actually...
Of Allardyce?
No, of Silva.
Yeah.
But actually, there's still a question mark, isn't there?
Listen, there are massive questions on Marco Silva. There always have been massive questions on Marco Silva. For me, when he was brought in, very talented, progressive, young, attacking-minded manager. That's what I wanted at the football club, and I think that's what we've got.
Who didn't have one particular thing, which was a winning resume in terms of...
Yeah, absolutely. And people will question, rightly so, why he befits an Everton manager. I get that. But the decision was made, and surely you can't say after 21 games, let's get rid of this man and go with something else.
No,
because
of course you can't.
It does not make sense. And you look at the money that's been invested, you look at Marcel Brands. Well, if people are so critical of this team and the players within it, Marcel Brands is the golden boy at this club. Nobody will have a bad word to say about him. Well, therefore, how can you criticise the team and the players when he's brought them in? Surely it doesn't work both ways. And it's a little bit hypocritical to criticise one faction of the football club and not the other. And I just think people need to get some more self-awareness about how long this will take. We're a football club that's been pretty much in the doldrums for the bulk of my lifetime. So it's not going to change overnight. It's going to take some time. We need to stick with something and see how it goes and give him ample time. The words from everybody's mouth were, oh, he needs transfer windows. He needs to be able to sift out some of the rubbish players we've got. They began by doing that and they started the season relatively well. Because that was the case, people want more and expectations rise. When in fact, you know, if Everton were to go and finish this season and when, say, went on a crazy unbeaten run and finished sixth this season, Steve, people would then say, well, we should be getting in the Champions League next season. Is it feasible for Everton to be getting in the Champions League within a year of having Sam Allardyce as the manager and to stave off relegation? Absolutely not. Things need to happen in a linear way. Progress needs to be made slowly in order to establish foundation so it doesn't go wrong. That's what Spurs have done. And we're regarded as the Spurs of the North.
A couple of quotes from the papers today. Everton were abject, lifeless, toothless. Looked a far cry from the team who were threatening the top six. That's Dominic King in the Daily Mail. Mm. New Year, same old Everton. Chris McKenna's writing in the Mirror this morning. Lots of stuff pointing fingers at the performance. But also lots of pictures of Jamie Vardy's backflip, which was excellent, wasn't it? First time he's ever done it? What is he, 31, 32?
Yeah, I think his wife was tweeted out yesterday, rather facetiously, that he wanted to be a gymnast when he was a little bit younger. I mean, it was an excellent celebration, wasn't it? A lot of frustration there as well, Steve, I think, because he hasn't been getting on with Klopp well. If you look at throughout the game, he was going over and taking instructions from him on the touchline. He doesn't like being isolated up front. He doesn't seem to be getting those balls over the top or in behind. And it took a Michael Keane error, who's been excellent this season. Again, it just shows you a mark of how some people are so quick to change their minds, because a lot were saying, why is Michael Keane here? We need to sell him in January, when largely he's been one of our best defenders.
Rock, sport and talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.